country man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hey folks, welcome to the show. This is James Kelso, and we are in the Trump phenomenon here on Monday night. We've got a brief hour together, and you can join me by calling in at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And in fact, I think I would appreciate it if you would, if folks inclined to call in would call in now. This is a bit of an extemporaneous show, and the you heard a rerun, two reruns yesterday. I rarely do such a thing, but I am in California right now, and so I'm broadcasting to you from the road, and if you want to call in, you can.
Got a passport? Did you have to get a passport to go there?
Is this John?
Paul.
Oh, hey, Paul. Oh, Paul. No, didn't have to get a passport to go to California. I really know California well. And so this was, God, you know, I have so much of my life invested in California, especially Southern California. But I also have lived in Northern California. So it's really been an eye-opener for me in the last few days here to see how it's been a few years since I've been back. And it has the effects of the uncontrolled immigration are really apparent. One thing you notice is a lot more people. Things that weren't that crowded or not crowded at all are now crowded. Prices have gone up, especially real estate prices, especially in areas where the white flight has driven the original white population of California, which Governor Earl Warren, this is, people don't believe this, Earl Warren, a real leftist, a real liberal, who ran the Warren Court. He was California governor before he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And he himself gave California, his nickname for California was the White State. Now, what exactly he meant, I have never found out exactly what he meant by calling it the White State, other than he was correctly denoting that California, when he was governor, was an almost completely white state. There were no Mexicans here. I mean, obviously there were a few, but not an insignificant number of Mexicans, a very small number of blacks, and nobody else. It was a white state. But as a bunch of, there were a number of states in back in the 1950s and 40s that were white states, completely so. But California was one of them. Anyway, not anymore. And so it's, you know, and then you can say this, folks, you know, all of the results of uncontrolled immigration are bad. Everything, you can find not a thing that has gotten better. Because now, of course, this is, you know, to some of you, I mean, this is so self-evident to all of us. But it's tangible, you know, when you're in a place where this is really happening in a bad way. And in fact, the cramming in of immigrants into America, into California, has gotten so extreme that I think, Paul, one of the only things limiting the further packing in is there's nowhere to put them. It's, you know, the freeways are jammed. The roads are jammed. The housing is jammed. The schools are jammed. The hospitals are jammed. The social services are jammed. So, I mean, I think that's one of the only restraints on the flood. And of course, that's bad news. So those of you out there in the rest of the country, and California is a big, you know, people say, oh, the hell with California. Well, that's easy to say. California is, if we have 320 million people, and California is, I think it's pushing 50 million people. It's over 40. So California is like 15% or something in that area of the population of the United States. One out of eight people, something in that area of America, is living in California. So it's pretty, you can't just say to hell with it. And in spite of all that packing in, it's still the largest population white state in America. It still has more money among that white population than any other state in America. And, yeah, well, anyway, and the things that I loved about the state that I grew up in, you know, some of them are still evident. I was out in the surf today in the Pacific, and there's a nice swell that's rolling in. It's going to get even bigger tomorrow, so I'm going to be out in that surf tomorrow.
Wow. And,
yeah, I mean, it's, oh, God, you know, and the fun today. I was able to take my 6-year-old and my 13-year-old, who have never really seen the Pacific Ocean, never seen it. And I got to take them into tidal pools where we were finding crabs and hermit crabs, larger crabs, snails, fish, you know, and just walking around in our, you know, in our swim trunks and our bare feet with our masks in tidal pools. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, that's, you know, that's the old California that I grew up in. And kind of interestingly, the tidal pools we were walking around in were the very same tidal pools that I walked around in. I was walking with my 6-year-old boy. I myself walked through the very same tidal pools when I was 6 years old. So the little fish and the hermit crabs and barnacles that were in those tidal pools were the descendants of the ones that I was looking at when I was 6 years old, just as my little boy was, you know, is my descendant. So kind of wonderful, the march of nature and evolution. But anyway, that's the beautiful part of California, that so many people like my parents and the millions of others of Californians, they came out here for this beauty and, you know, glorious nature. But anyway, so that's where I am, folks. And if you want to call in, engineer, I don't have a way of seeing your call-in board. Do we have any calls? Come in, engineer.
He said not yet.
Nope. No calls. It's 800-313-9443. Get your fingers moving out there, callers, and call in. Paul and I are on the board. Paul, give us a story to throw on the discussion fire here tonight.
Okay, well, immigrant violence came a little too close to home in my life, James. In a kind of trendy, yuppie area of East Toronto, there's a coffee shop I know quite well. In fact, I was there Friday night, briefly to meet somebody, and Sunday evening, an immigrant by the name of Hassan, Faisal. Faisal Hussein, yes, from County Donegal, went into that second cup, shot a couple of people, then walked down the street, shooting at people and shooting into restaurant windows. When all was said and done, two women were killed, 10 were injured. The police finally dispatched him, and the absolutely brain dead cultural Marxist mayor of the city of Toronto is all up in arms. What's the issue? Gun control. We need more gun control.
Yeah, and by the way, sorry to be humorous there. That's a sad story. People died, and I hadn't seen the headline that the shooter had a name like Hassan, and
Hussein. So far the information is very sparse. Important questions: was he an immigrant or just a child of immigrants? He's 29 years old. Did he yell anything? Oh, did he yell Allah Akbar? Did he target women? Some do, particularly. All sorts of important. His parents put out a statement that they're just sickened by this. They're terribly sorry. Unfortunately, he had all sorts of depression issues. He was on very heavy antipsychotic drugs. And my good friend who's running for the mayor of the city of Toronto, Dr. James Sears, said, well, that may be. It may be, might be. The problem is big pharma. And a psychologist friend of mine, a PhD in psychology, told me that some of the types of drugs that he and another killer in Toronto were taking, there's a warning on them. One of the side effects is the drug may lead to serious inclinations to acts of violence against others or yourself. Oh, well, let's take some more of that pill. So there's a lot, as usual, that's not known. I was in that coffee shop briefly on Friday night, And my friend who lives in the building where that coffee shop is, lives a couple stores, floors up. The chair my friend sometimes sits in has a bullet hole in it. So
immigrant violence
came a little too close to home for comfort. And you know what my friend says? Canadians should be allowed to own and carry a concealed handgun. If anybody, a store owner or any passerby, had a handgun in her purse or in his belt, that psycho could have been blown away before he did all that damage. I mean, you know, he might have still shot a couple of people. But, you know, you've got an unarmed populace, and you've got a fatuous mayor of the city of Toronto saying, oh, the big problem is gun control. No, the big problem is crazy people control and probably immigrant control. We're still trying to find out, you know, is this another case of poorly screened immigration? Canada's most famous cannibal, a fellow named Vincent Wai Guang Li, was on a bus from Edmonton to Winnipeg about 10 years ago, and he had a psychotic episode. He had serious psychotic problems, but he then hauled out a hunting knife and beheaded his seatmate. He sat down beside a guy he never knew. He cut the guy's head off because voices told him to, and then everybody fled the bus, and he proceeded to gouge out his eyes and carve up his cheekbones, the cheeks, and eat the flesh, while the Royal Canadian Mounted Police stood outside the bus and did nothing. They were armed. They had tear gas. They could have shot him. They did nothing. He has since been whisked through the mental health system in our country. They couldn't get him back on the street fast enough. And a few months back, with a new identity, this crazy Chinaman is back on our streets, and he walks among us, the human cannibal walks among us, and we're assured, well, you know, he'll be okay as long as he takes his meds. And, you know, who will make sure that he does take his meds?
I'm looking at this Toronto story now, and I saw it on the TV here in Los Angeles, and apparently there's video on a cell phone showing the shooter calmly opening fire on innocents in Toronto Sunday night. And
it's a major street. It's really Greek town.
Here's your mayor. Yeah, it says Greek town. Toronto Mayor John Tory saying guns are too readily available to too many people. Way to go, John Tory.
Yeah. The fact is, guns are not readily available to ordinary citizens who might have stopped this guy.
Yeah. No, in the article, it says the University of Sydney's gunpolicy.org rating lists Canada's Your Gun Control Poll as restrictive.
Yes.
And get this, in Canada, to purchase a gun, one must first acquire a license for which they must undergo a background check. The background check includes a consideration of criminal, mental health, addiction, and domestic violence records. It also requires a third-party character reference and law enforcement interviews with the gun license applicant's spouse, partner, or next of kin. So, yeah, yes, not
that's
easy.
One way they can screw men. An ex-wife or a girlfriend says, well, he was violent to me, or he threatened violence, that would be enough for you not to get a gun license.
Pretty tough, folks, to get a gun in Canada. So, no, that's not too readily available, Toronto Mayor John Tory. The problem is, John Tory is, oh, and by the way, I saw another story that said violence in Toronto had gone up, I think, something like 56%, some percentage like that, in 2 years. There were something like 27 gun deaths already this year.
And if we could come back to that after the break, I have a quick comment on that.
Okay. Stay tuned, folks.
We We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Well, I'm out to find me a wealthy woman in a line of work that don't take no diploma. I ain't got much to lose, but got a lot to gain. Well, some might call me a good time fella. I ain't black and I ain't a yellow, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Yeah, I don't want no handout living and don't want a part of anything they're giving. I'm proud and white and I got a song to sing. Well, I've said a few things and I'll admit it. If you want to get ahead, you got to hump and get it. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Hump and get it now. Yeah. Well, I'm a small town boy, been around a little. I like guitars and I like a fiddle, and that's the kind of soul it takes to fan my flame. Well, I'm a blue-eyed Billy, kind of frail and ruddy, so I'll have to work to be somebody. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I don't want no handout living and don't want a part of anything they're giving. I'm proud and white and I got a song to sing. Well, I've said a few things and I'll admit it. If you want to get ahead, you got to hump and get it. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing.
Hey, that's exactly what Paul and I are. White boys looking for a place to do our thing. And I'm a little more able to do my thing right now because I'm talking to you on Skype. I completed the miracle of connecting via Skype here from California during the break. So, Paul, I'm better able to hear you.
Oh, that's good.
I hope you guys have got better audio on me out there, and all together we can do more. Also, I can see now. I can see my caller board. Let me see if I can just get that. There it is. There's the caller board. So if you call in, I will see your call appearing. The engineer will show it to me. So 800-313-9443. Paul Fromm here with us from Canada indicated he wanted to comment a little bit more about the surging death rate and violence and crime in Toronto.
Yes, our the feckless mayor of Toronto, John Tory, says that there's a real worry about gang violence. A couple of weeks ago, our Nothing Burger news papers told us that there'd been a shooting in a park in a certain area of Scarborough. Now, if you didn't know the city well, you might be very horrified. Well, it's a public housing area where there are large numbers of Negroes. And we're told that two little girls, sisters, I think 1 5, 1 9, were shot, but they weren't injured. But they weren't the targets. It was some other man in the park, and the shooters who were in a car went by and fired a number of rounds, and they hit the rounds hit the two little girls, but didn't hit the culprit. And so the mayor denounced guns and gang violence. Well, what he doesn't, they don't tell you is, and you would have to know the city to get a clue about this, is that it is black gang violence. And two gangs, you know, battling over drugs, or even maybe somebody dissed somebody else. They see a member of the other gang, and they open up. And they don't give a rat's bottom that there are other people around. You see, unlike the targeted violence of the old line mafia, they didn't go into a crowd and blow everybody away in the hopes of getting Vito or Tony or whoever the object was. They would arrange for a hit. And, you know, I don't take all my history from The Sopranos, but there would be that the killings there were probably a relatively accurate account of the way they did things. Black gangs, at least in Canada, just indiscriminate violence. If they see somebody from the other gang that they're after, they just open up. And it doesn't matter that there are other blacks or children or passersby in the way. It doesn't matter. And of course, we're not being told this. This is not a gang problem. It's a black gang problem. But of course, we mustn't say that because that might call into question our immigration problem. So that's kind of the background to this. And a psychologist friend of mine said, we have got to try to repeal the gun laws. Law-abiding citizens should be able to carry a concealed weapon. Probably had they, in this relatively crowded area of the city, had somebody had a handgun the other night, the death and injury toll might have been a lot less.
Yes, so it goes there, folks, with the rise in crime. The price of non-European immigration into our countries, whether legal or illegal, makes no difference. Non-European immigration raises the crime rates and creates all the negatives I described here at the beginning of this show and my visit, my return here to California, to tell you that it doesn't help. It does not help at all. We'll be right back. Good chance for you to call in. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
www.thepanhandle.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time
we're back, folks.
Children, what's that sound? Everybody,
thanks for tuning the Trump Phenomenon in. I'm James Kelso, with me Paul Fromm. And the let us go, Paul. We often go to the man himself, the inspiration for this show, the raison d'etre for this show, which is Donald John Trump. His Twitter account, what a great direct pipeline from his mind to yours. And in the last, half a day, he has made 10 tweets. And here are some of those tweets. Here's one. A rather weighty one, incredibly weighty language, to Iranian President Rouhani. This now is in all caps, telegram style. Never, ever threaten the United States again. When's the last time we ever heard an American president say that? Was it Theodore Roosevelt who said, Perdicaris alive, or
yes.
Somebody...
Dead. And he was an infamous Barbary pirate, and he launched an attack and kidnapped a couple of Americans. and Roosevelt wanted him turned over to the Americans. And I think the Sultan of someplace in North Africa was getting a little bit insolent. And Roosevelt then said, either hand him over or we're going to come in and we're going to start bombarding you. He was turned over right quickly.
Yes. Let's see here. Let me try to see. Yes. It wasn't Rouhani. It was Raisuli. That was the mnemonic there. Perdicaris, alive, or Raisuli, dead. That was what Theodore Roosevelt said to let's see, what was the year here for
he was also the man who said talk softly but carry a big stick. And
yes, U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt was angered by the kidnapping and felt obliged to react. Roosevelt dispatched 7 warships under the command of Admiral French Ensor Chadwick and several marine companies commanded by Major John Twiggs Myers and it was, in fact, this government wants Perdicaris alive or Raisuli dead. Now, let's see what Donald Trump has to say. Never, ever threaten the United States again, President Rouhani, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. Period. Wow.
If I were he, I think I'd be flat on my face on my prayer rug, begging guidance from Allah.
Yeah, I mean, he says, we are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious, exclamation mark.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was in all in caps. And, I'm telling you, yeah, I'm on my prayer rug. I'm losing sleep over this because I don't the likes of which I'm going to suffer something the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered. Wow. I mean, I'm wondering, well, what does Donald Trump have to deploy against me? I'm worried. So anyways, I like that one.
I think he knows darn well what Donald Trump has. He's got nuclear weapons. He's got all sorts of cruise missiles and many other things. It might not be a good idea to antagonize them too much. And, you know, that's the type of message that should be sent out to tyrants.
Yeah, and another thing he has to deploy is called Navy SEAL Team 6, which, several people have become familiar with Navy SEAL Team 6 shortly before they died. And so that could be another possibility there. Navy SEAL Team 6, like the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, always gets their man. Here's another tweet from Donald Trump. We'll jump a little bit here with the president's tweets. So now going to the Russia hoax, witch hunt. So we now find out that it was indeed the unverified and fake dirty dossier that was paid for by crooked Hillary and the DNC that was knowingly and falsely submitted to FISA by the FBI, in other words, knowingly lying, for which you should go to prison, and which was responsible for starting the totally conflicted and discredited Mueller witch hunt. Very nice tweet, 15 hours ago. Then he tweets, it was, this is a quote now, he's quoting, who is he quoting? Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. It was classified, that being all this stuff that was been hidden from us, to cover up misconduct by the FBI and the Justice Department in misleading the court by using this dossier in a dishonest way to gain a warrant to target the Trump team. This is a Clinton campaign document. It was a fraud and a hoax designed to target Trump. And the DOJ, FBI, and Obama gang need to be held to account. Source number one was the major source. Avoided talking about it being the Clinton being the Clinton campaign behind it. Misled the court, is a little bit of, kind of condensed language here, misled the court to provide a pretext to spy on the Trump team. Not about Carter Page, was all about getting Trump. Carter Page wasn't a spy, wasn't an agent of the Russians. He would have cooperated with the FBI. It was a fraud and a hoax designed to target Trump, unquote, Tom Fitton, head of Judicial Watch, a great organization. Thank God they exist. They get out so much information that would otherwise be buried. And then now Donald Trump speaking says, a disgrace to America. They should drop the discredited Mueller witch hunt now. And then also today, Donald Trump comments. He says, when you hear the fake news talking negatively about my meeting with President Putin and all that I gave up, remember, I gave up nothing. We merely talked about future benefits for both countries. Also, we got along very well, which is a good thing, except for the corrupt media. Then on another subject, again, talking about, this is great. Donald Trump has to provide us with the news, since the fake news media does not. It was never intended to provide the news. He says, concerning peace, a rocket has not been launched by North Korea in 9 months. Likewise, no nuclear tests. Japan is happy. All of Asia is happy. But the fake news is saying, without ever asking me, always anonymous sources, that I am angry because it is not going fast enough. Wrong. Very happy. Here's another story here. Now, this is great. Donald Trump is putting Jeff Bezos under his scrutiny. Listen to this. The Amazon, and now the richest man in the world, by all accounts, the Amazon Washington Post, Bezos owns the Washington Post, has gone crazy against me ever since they lost the internet tax case in the U.S. Supreme Court 2 months ago. And I think that's referring to Amazon lost that case. Next up is the U.S. Post Office, which they use as Amazon at a fraction of real cost as their delivery boy for a big percentage of their packages. In my opinion, the Washington Post is nothing more than an expensive, that is, the paper loses a fortune, lobbyist for Amazon. Is it used as protection against antitrust claims, which many feel should be brought? Now, folks, think about what you just heard there. Donald Trump, the most powerful man in the world and the greatest patriot in the world, has just targeted Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, who apparently hates Donald Trump, hates us patriots, and owns Amazon, and owns the Washington Post. And I just found out, I went into Whole Foods to buy something to eat today in Whole Foods. He's buying up everything he can buy. And when I went to the checkout counter at Whole Foods, they said, if you're a member of Amazon Prime, blah, blah, you can get a discount on each food purchase. So this is interesting because Amazon is, in fact, taking advantage of the post office. They are, in fact, taking advantage of not paying the same taxes as mom and pop stores and brick and mortar stores. And Donald Trump has commented, he said it, he was talking about it in the primaries. Maybe some of these huge companies need to be looked at from the point of view of antitrust.
And, yes.
So this is going to get interesting. Rouhani is losing sleep over whatever most unimaginable suffering Donald Trump may have in mind for him. And Jeff Bezos, he's got his own reasons to stay up nights wondering what's done. Yep.
You know, I've thought about this quite a bit, that the various huge corporate entities, many of them near monopolies, that have so hurt white nationalists and revisionists in the past year, that being banned from YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and having having PayPal denied you and various other things, We don't have the power right now, but when we do, when times will change, and perhaps they'll change even more under Donald Trump, these freedom hostile organizations should be punished. They should, and I think certainly one tool might be the legislation against monopolies and trusts. They have not used their near monopoly position fairly, and they should have to answer for that. And I'm glad to see Donald Trump taking on one of the biggest ones, this Jeff Bezos.
Well, now get this, folks. Get how fast his growth. And you know, I'm not innately against someone being incredibly successful. If Jeff Bezos, and I know Paul is neither. If Jeff Bezos were a patriot, wow, you know, it'd be pretty exciting. But get this: in July of 2017, he became the world's wealthiest person when his estimated net worth increased to just over $90 billion. That's July 2017. That's 1 year ago. So get that number: $90 billion 1 year ago. His present net worth as of March. No, his current net worth in July of 2018, $151 billion. So, folks, Jeff Bezos has increased his net worth by $61 billion in 12 months.
Have you done anything like that, James?
I have not. Yes, I didn't quite make that much money.
I didn't see my bank account go up $60 billion.
That is a lot of money, folks. And all of this stemming from, I mean, it's ridiculously simple. And hats off to the man for having a correct original insight, brilliant one. Some of the best ideas are stupidly simple. His original idea was he looked at bookstores and, you know, people like me sitting in bookstores and reading books without buying them, and taking advantage of their, you know, come in and read books and sit and sip coffee offers and stuff. And he said, you know what? I'll bet you I can sell books more cheaply than Barnes and Noble. And son of a gun, he did. And then he found, hey, I can ship them really cheaply with the book rate thing of the post office has and other, you know, deals. He started out taking the books to the post office in his own pickup truck. But his idea was I can sell things online, books to start with. And that was a success. Then he sent out a survey to his book buyers and he said, well, I'm thinking of expanding. What else should I try selling online? And the response he got was everything. And he went with it. He then said, I'm going to shift to selling everything online. And folks, he got there first. The idea was correct. And he is now worth $151 billion as a result. It's an amazing thing. I hope there's some kind of a patriotic bone somewhere in his body or something that's, you know, some element of common sense. But that's one powerful person. And his life was very interesting, too. I've kind of forgotten. I talked about it on this show. I believe his birth father, is a man named Jorgensen, a Nordic Jorgensen. And the name Bezos is a stepfather. And in one of these bizarre things, Paul, I think he is, you know, I think he feels abandoned by his birth father. And I think, if I'm recalling correctly, folks, doesn't want to meet him. So, I mean, my gosh, he's alive. So imagine if you were the father of a son who is now the richest man in the world, worth $151 billion, and he didn't want to meet up with you. Whew, boy, talk about strange.
I think I might be thinking I should have been nicer to that kid.
And if anybody could correct me on any of that who's read better, more biographical material on Jeff Bezos, please correct me. And by the way, all this happened very, very recently. Amazon was founded only very recently. It's in 1997. Bezos first became a millionaire in 1997 when he raised $54 million through Amazon's initial public offering, their IPO. He probably makes more than that in a day now. But he first made it to the billionaires list in 1999. And then he actually lost money in the course of this. He actually had, at one point, his fortune declined by almost half. Even more. He went from being worth $10 billion down to $2 billion, which you would think, wow, he tanked. Then he lost some more money. His worth went down to $1 billion. And then from 2000, after 2005, he started the ascent again, now worth $151 billion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll have a chance to maybe take a call, a little more conversation. See you then.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Guess my opinion is all out of style.
Oh, but don't get me started, 'cause I can get right.
Right. And the world already knows where I stand.
And I'm for the Bible, and I'm for the flag, and I'm for the working man. I'm just one of many, can't get no respect.
we're back, folks. And we're politically incorrect. The, you know, just a kind of a, just an interesting commentary here on Jeff Bezos. And we've got Stephen in North Carolina hanging on the phone. So, Stephen, we'll get you in just a moment. But, you know, the irony of this, Jeff Bezos, it looks like he owes his incredible skyrocketing fortune to the election of Donald Trump. Because in 2016, his net worth declined by 10%. That is before Trump. Under Obama, his fortune declined from $50 billion to $45 billion. He went down 10%. But then in the 2 years of Donald Trump, 2017 and 2018, his total fortune went up 62% in the first year of Trump and has now gone up already 54% in the second year of Trump, and we're not done yet. So his fortune went up, has gone up from $45 billion before Trump to $151 billion now. He's $100 billion maybe due to the Trump election. And the question is he hostile to Trump? And it appears that he is. He has donated, for instance, one of his biggest – he hasn't donated that much money to charity. He's asked for suggestions, but one of his charities was he donated $33 million to the Dream.us, which is a college scholarship fund for undocumented immigrants who were brought to the United States when they were minors. So – oh, boy. So that's the Dreamers and the DACA crowd. So $33 million. That's a lot of tuition, Paul.
Yeah, that is.
And that doesn't bode well. And he's not a, you know, is there any hope for Jeff Bezos? How old is the guy? That's another amazing thing. He's made all this money, folks. Most of it in the last 2 years. Two thirds of it. He's made in the last 2 years under the economic boom launched by Donald Trump. And speaking of the word launching, Bezos has joked that he would like to launch Donald Trump into outer space on one of the rockets. He's building rockets as one of his investments, space rockets. He is only 54 years old, born in 1964 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So, very young guy. So this is quite a story. If Jeff, if you're listening out there, Paul and I can recommend some books. We hope you'll read. And to my caller, I apologize. Let me just get to him here. I ran you off the clock. I apologize to Stephen in North Carolina. Stephen, please call into the show tomorrow night. First thing, we'll put you right on the air. And everybody else, thanks for joining us. Thank you, Paul. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.
Madam